podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
What's going on, everybody? This is the Talking Tactics Podcast. My name is Daniel.
Sup, it's the boy Double H. Yo, 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 yo.
We do this podcast. We record it on Tuesday. You hear it Tuesday if you're a Patreon. Go check out the Patreon in the link. We recorded like a whole thing about Apple and musicians and a whole other thing. So yeah, you guys can go check that out. I'm at Daniel to look. Half Hope, where can people find you?
HalfHopeFootballHot.com, baby.
Carl has been on the continent. I would have liked him to appear today, but he's somewhere. I don't know if I have liberty to say exactly where, but he said he saw Kendrick. So maybe that'll give you a clue. Because, you know, FA Cup final, that would have been nice. But either way, you can follow him at The Athletic, I suppose. Leave us a voicemail. We did get one during the course of the pod. I'll try to find it. I already said Patreon. You can follow us on all the social media accounts. Everything's in the description. And yeah, so let's just get into it. So do you want to start out with news or football?
News. Let's go news. News. All right. News is always good when it starts, man.
I want to talk about Saudi Arabia and their potential, because you hinted to this. I was going to say we, but really, let's tell the truth. You hinted to this last week where China, that used to be, maybe he'll just go to China to end his career. Or maybe he'll go to the Americas to end his career. Like, there were people going to Mexico, like Gignac. There were people going to, like, Beckham and Gerrard. They went to LA Galaxy and stuff. Thierry Henry went to, was it Red Bulls, New York Red Bulls? Like, People used to go to America. They'd go to Mexico. They'd go to China. But Saudi Arabia seems to be the next retirement league. Even Japan. I think Fernando Torres and Iniesta, they went to Japan. But Saudi Arabia, they already have Ronaldo. I think Benzema signed or is going to sign. They're going after N'Golo Kante. I've seen links with Luka Modric, Busquets as well. Is the Saudi League going to become a player for these not quite over the hill, but over the hill players? And what does that mean for Europe?
You see, right now it's not a threat because these players are coming towards the end of their career. Like, what was interesting about China was Hulk and Graziano Pele, these guys were moving in their mid-20s. So it's like, and also Oscar as well. So you had guys, you are now either at your peak or even entering your peak and you're leaving here. So that was like, could this be a potential threat? But then again, look at the kind of guys that we're attracting. The only way that these things get interesting is, can they attract a Vini, an Mbappe, a Haaland, like now or in a few years' time? Then that's where, so can you get a current star coming at his peak in his mid to late 20s to come to the Saudi League? Then it's going to be like, okay, now we're talking. Because as of right now, it's just an interesting alternative, but not really an alternative, because it's like, basically, it's like vibes. You're just watching guys at the end of their career. These are guys that are no longer at a competitive level anymore. So, you know, it's not really a threat. But what will be interesting, though, is you now have a choice now. So for that young player, your choice is respectability or generational wealth. because this is the joke that we're cracking. So if, because we'll get to Messi, but just this connects with it. So if Messi, let's say, chooses to play for Barcelona for charity and rejects 1.2 bill, like a Messi descendant in Ibots, let's say 80, 90 years' time, living in a trailer park on the moon or Neptune, it's going to be like, this bum who was my ancestor, this bum-ass ancestor, because you chose thingy as a charity, I'm not living in a trailer park. Whereas if you had chosen generational wealth, I'd be good. So for these kinds of guys coming through, can you begrudge a guy who suffered through poverty, had a tough upbringing, and he chooses to gain crazy money for 2-3 years and then comes back to Europe, or he just chooses that over Europe? How can he be grudging? Like, football is a game. It's not real life. It's not the UN. It's not politics. It's a freaking game. So if life will always be more important than football, so if a guy has a choice or has the chance of making like 200, 300 mil in 2 years, as opposed to, let's say, 20 or 30 mil in 2 years, bro, I'm doing the whole thing for 2-3 years and sorting out my family, family's family, and their family's family afterwards. So it'll be interesting, because everyone's assumption is, nah, man, people will choose respectability and trying to prove themselves in Europe over that money. I'm like, cool. But the money that Saudi can offer, I don't think China were offering.
Okay, so the offer for Benzema, if what I read reported correct is correct, or if I read correctly what was reported, was 3 years, $643 million. I'll say it again. 3 years, $643 million. Now, I don't know where the 43 came from, but that's effectively 220, 210, 15, somewhere in there per year. I'm assuming that's because he's the reigning Ballon d'Or winner. Now, let's say Messi signs with Barcelona for a year. Who wins the Ballon d'Or in a few months?
Isn't it in October?
Well, aren't they voting now? But either way, like who's going to win the next Ballon d'Or? It's going to be Messi, surely, because they won the World Cup. And that's normally how this goes. Unless Haaland, he would have to score a hat trick in the final and just to what we forget. But it's possible it could be Haaland. But I'd wager Messi. If he signs with Barcelona and he's the reigning Ballon d'Or winner, on top of just being Messi, next year could be the more opportune year for him to go to Saudi Arabia. Because he would have the Ballon d'Or. Because I'm assuming there must be a rate for like the Ballon d'Or winner. So if Benzema is worth 3 years, $643 million, and they're already offering Messi like billions without the Ballon d'Or right now, if he has it, it could be like 2 years, $2 billion. Something crazy.
I mean, look.
All I'm saying is, it might be in his best, like, business plan, to wait a bit, just like 12 months. Just wait 12 months, and you will be in a far better bargaining position, I think.
Wait. Hold on. So you think that he can demand more because he'd have the Ballon d'Or?
I'm assuming there must be something to the Benzema contract that says, because I am the reigning best player in the world.
Nah. No. But also,
would offer him that cash without it?
Nah. No. But okay, the reason why it works for Benzema is because this is something he won recently.
The level.
Yeah, but for Messi, he's won. Basically, for Messi, the Ballon d'Or doesn't add anything. It's Messi.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so his name is already his name. You know, like, what's it called? My name is Marlo. My name. You know, your boy Marlo. Like, his name is his name. So. A Ballon d'Or and everything, bro. Okay, this is not going to be like my 3 billionth one. What's it?
Who's the actor's name?
Jamie Hector.
Hector, yes.
Yeah, Hector. Something Hector. Yeah. I think it's Jamie Hector.
Jamie Hector, yeah, that's it for sure. I don't know. You know how black people are, man. We don't call the person the actor by the actor. He's going to be Marlo for the rest.
Oh, yeah. Marlo.
even when he's in other things, if I see him in another show, I'm like, oh, that's Marlo. I don't know, like, I don't say that's JB Hector. Like, yeah. No, that's Marlo. But anyway, you might be right. Maybe the Ballon d'Or doesn't validate Messi's price, but I'm assuming, like, for Benzema at least, that's important. I just find it very interesting. Firstly, I think Carl said something interesting, which was. Actually, no. Carl and I were going back and forth. I'll say my point. He can keep his. That I think it might increase the wages in Europe, which I feel like, especially if you look at wages compared to like NBA. I would think, though, if we're looking at top European clubs anyway, so Manchester United, Manchester City, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, etc., PSG. If you look at their wages and you compare them to like Steph Curry, Giannis, Damian Lillard, etc. I think NBA players make more, like in a week. Like if you average it over a week, I think Steph Curry's on like 800 grand or a million or whatever it is, like a week. So I look at that and I think, surely Real Madrid, PSG, Manchester United, Manchester City, like they're bigger brands than the Golden State Warriors in the world. Like, surely they should be making more money, but because of the way that the league is structured and things are structured, like, they kind of don't get what they should. I feel like the Saudi offer is probably more, is closer to what they're actually worth, considering their name, their brand, what they're bringing, all of that.
Wait.
You were going to say?
No. Because just speaking on that, though, because this is something that we discussed on like a hangout before. Now look at this. So this is world's most profitable sports teams. Because you see, you mentioned Real Madrid. They're not even in the top 10 here.
Interesting.
And
according to Forbes.
You see, the Warriors, they're seventh. So you said, how the hell could they wait? Because...
Whoa. How is Spurs three?
Bro, that was our whole discussion. Like, the discussion started with...
I was looking, okay, I saw Manchester United, and I just was kind of like looking at the top.
No.
The Hotspurs worth more than the Knicks? They make more money than the Knicks?
That was our whole discussion. Our whole discussion was that Levy's a gangster. Is that... If I'm a Tottenham fan, I'm like, no. Bro, I'm being scammed.
Spurs are not more profitable than the Los Angeles Lakers.
It's crazy.
And if they are, how is LeBron making more money than Harry Kane? That's my point.
Therein lies the truth of the whole matter. You know,
that's all I'm saying. So I'm saying if the wages from Saudi, like if they can somehow inflate or lift the wages in Europe. Perhaps players like Kane or Son would be making closer to what they're doing for their team. Like Dak Prescott, I guess he's the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm sure he makes like 40, 50 million a year. I don't think football players are making that much. It's definitely not at Tottenham.
No, I mean, but do you really see Europe en masse doing that? Really raising the wages of everyone?
It depends on how effective Saudi's luring is. Like if they could get
No. Like, Europe ain't gonna do that though. I think Europe's thing is it's Europe. It's the Champions League. It's history, it's respectability, it's integrity. So I think the war is integrity, respectability versus money. Because a lot of these guys are like, wait a minute. So remember, a rich man only wants to be richer, richer, and richer. No rich man wants to be poorer. Or is happy to be poorer. So a lot of these guys are going to be like, do you really feel like if Levy right now is going to be like, man, I now have to like cut my income by 3 mil because I'm going to raise everyone's wages? Hell no.
That's crazy.
Hell no. So this is like, and especially a Levy, most businessmen, but especially a Levy, they're going to be like, no, it's like my lifeblood, my whole existence is... Low costs, high profits. Low costs, high profits. That is the ABC foundation of business. So they're like, we will fight to maintain our line in the sand being respectability. You go into Saudi, you're not respectable anymore. And we can't take you seriously. So for that player right now, it's going to be an interesting choice of like, are you going to choose crazy amounts of money? Or I play for a respect. I am in the respectable ecosystem that is Europe.
Okay, so just to round this out, because there's a bunch of topics probably to discuss. Not least of all the Champions League final. If the players who go there in this latest kind of attempt, so let's say Messi goes. Let's say Benzema goes. Let's say Cristiano stays. Let's say they get Modric and Benzema and Kante and all the guys. Does that give that league a level of credibility to where in the next 5-10 years, a talent from Brazil who is coming from a place of abject poverty, but he has this special precocious talent. He looks at Vinny. He looks like, yeah, maybe the Real Madrid thing is a play, but there is a league where legends have gone. Maybe they're older, but they still went. And they're offering crazy money. Now, the question would be, are Saudi just interested in names? And they're not really interested in developing talent that could be a name? Like, that's its own discussion. So we'll take Messi because he's Messi. We'll take Ronaldo because he's Ronaldo. We'll take Modric because he's Modric. We'll take Benzema because he's Benzema. But Benzema from Lyon or like when he was in the academy, we're not really interested in somebody that could be great. We need somebody that has been great. And that would be the disconnect, to where they wouldn't offer this level of money to somebody who doesn't have the brand. They would need them to go to Europe to create the brand. And then when it comes kind of sort of to the end, but you can still run around a bit, then we'll try to go for you. So how serious are Saudi in actually developing talent?
Nah, look, let's keep it a stack. It's vibes, man. It's vibes FC.
Yeah.
Like for Saudi, it's literally about the big names, these big superstars that people want to see.
They're not going for the, what's the kid's name that's going to Madrid? Endrick. Yeah, they're not going for Endrick.
Because Rambo, for them, they're like, Rambo, we're living in a world where of social media. So these players come with a huge fan base. Look at how much Al Nassr's Instagram followers jumped in the space of like a day. Yeah, millions. So for them, they're like, no, this is not about football and proper football recruitment and scouting. No, this is purely about marketing and branding. And if you're established, come through and so forth. Hence why it's not really a threat yet, because of what their strategy is. Because their strategy is that legend who hits 34, 35, what's up? So Lewandowski, if you're winding down, come and get some generational wealth for 2 years.
Good generational
wealth. Yeah. So.
but again, to the Messi point, like his ancestor or his descendant.
No, his descendants,
Like, I think Messi's brand is strong enough to where he'll be fine. I don't think the trailer park analogy quite fits, because I feel branding.
So there's a chance where in 2080 there could be a Messi living in the trailer park because the money dried up.
Do you think there's like a Pele descendant who's living in the trailer park right now?
We don't know.
Like, I don't. Probably not.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
Like, actually, I think his mom might still be in the hood, but because she didn't want to leave. Like, because I remember when Pele passed, like, I think people went to his mom's crib, and I was like, that doesn't look like an affluent neighborhood, but there are some old people that you can't get from their house.
Because my thing, though, is that there could always be one screw-up of a descendant who use the money for some kind of crazy scheme and just messes it up.
But that would happen no matter the money, though. Like, if it's 500 million or if it's 5 million, will fuck it up.
It's a lot easier to F up like a 200 mil bag than a 2 bill bag.
Are you sure?
Because if you've got like a 2 bill bag, you've got to be truly special to mess up a 2 bill bag. You know? So like if like we now have like a wealth pot of 2 bill, come on, bro. That should be enough for about 8, 9, 10 generations. Pot? Yeah. A wealth pot, yeah.
I don't know. I pictured like Monopoly, like, you know, when you put the money in the middle of
Anyway,
Benzema. So he's gone from Madrid, and this comes, I think, before or after Eden Hazard leaving. Just basically there's been a clear out of a few players at Real Madrid. What do you make of Benzema? What do you make of Hazard? Do you think Hazard should retire? Benzema's legacy, all of those different types of things. Those two players in particular we can talk
about. No. Speaking of retirements, what struck me was Benzema saying that he thought he'd retire at Real Madrid. So I was like, that's interesting. And I think it goes to show the kind of club Real Madrid is, where this isn't about sentiment. If no matter what you are, no matter what you do or contributed, if you're no longer good enough, you're out. Which is why, because for me, I respect the Real Madrid approach as opposed to the kind of Chelsea approach. Now, because the Chelsea approach now is sentiment, family vibes. He gets it. This is what it's about. It doesn't matter if you're trashy, cool. But the Real Madrid sentiment is, no, it's all about excellence. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter your historical ties, it's about excellence. That's why Ramos, you're no longer good anymore. Out. Cristiano, you want to now do a stick up. You want to stick me up? Good, go. You know, so the club will always come before any one player, and there's no space for any sentiment. So I think Benzema wanted the sentimental view of like, hey, I want to retire here and I just want to vibe out here. And Perez like, nah, that ain't happening. We have to rebuild. Your last year showed that you are no longer of that level anymore where you can be the main striker. So yeah, you can't be a starter. And if you're not happy to be a bench player, it is what it is. And I love that approach. I love that approach. So for Benzema, he had to go. He had to go. Like when he maxed out for his Ballon d'Or year, he maxed out. And for me, it will go down as one of the greatest of an individual with what he did in the UCL. See, for Hazard, that's just a depressing story. Like Hazard, that's a whole topic in and of itself. Because now I'm hearing that he's considering retirement. And it's like, if you're, here's the thing for Hazard. If it ends back home at Chelsea, where the hell does Hazard go? Because I think what we're seeing from Hazard is what everyone said and what Obi Mikel even alluded to. He was never really prepared to be a professional. So once the talent didn't come easy to him, it's like, what do I do? Because during those years, 2018, when he was at Chelsea, it was second nature. So as Obi Mikel said, he can turn up, not train, not tie his shoelaces, do nothing in training. Come Saturday, he scores 2 goals and he's like man of the match. But now that maybe your body isn't able to do these things, it's like, no, okay, no, now you need to train. Now you need to have conditioning. Now you need to have, now adapt your game, tweak your game. You need to spend more hours on the training pitch. But it's like, wait, but this just came so easily to me.
Mm.
You know, I never had to train and I did say, what's up? So now that you go to a different environment and you have to now adapt, tweak, change things, and maybe do a lot more on the training ground and actually do more on conditioning. Because that was something that he never had to do before, he screwed up. So where the hell do you go? Especially now, with the way football is now, where it is conditioning is so important and preparation is so important. And as people say, everybody has to be good off the ball. The day of the luxury player is gone. The day of the Totti, the Ginola, the Ronaldinho. No one can cater for a luxury player. Everybody has to put in work with and without the ball.
Mm.
So,
yeah, it's kind of funny you end there, because while you were talking, I was thinking, if his name was like Edinho or Hazinho, or like if he was Brazilian, the trajectory of his career would make a lot more sense to people, because that's kind of the stereotype of the Brazilian flamboyant player, where they get to 30 and they just fall off a cliff because of a lack of professionalism. Like, you could look at Ronaldinho, for instance, and you could see the last few years in Barcelona, they were good, but they weren't great. He went to Milan, weren't good, weren't great, and then kind of just faded into playing in Mexico and different places. And you can look at, you know, Samuel Eto'o said similar things about Ronaldinho and Hazard, about how, like, I mean, they trained, but it wasn't like a serious method of training, because when they played, they were just the most talented person on the pitch. So the level of work I need to do in order to beat you guys is not a professional level for everyone else. Like, it's just, I am who I am, and I'm just going to beat you. But what happens when those physical tools start to diminish a bit, when you get into your 28, 29, 30s? I mean, and the type of game that he played wasn't one that was, I don't know, conducive to playing a long time. Him and Neymar are similar in that way.
Oh, yeah.
Where
yeah.
Their style of game was very, it might not appear physical at first, but they enjoyed the contact. They want to feel the defender. And if it's the right moment, they go down, they can use the defender to spin.
And also, it's explosive as well. It's explosive. Exactly.
Like, they were kicked. They were like, Eden Hazard was brutalized, bro. Mm. Like, from 2012, and I didn't really watch him that much in the French league, but I would assume it was more of the same. I think I watched like a few games with him at Leo, but like Chelsea was obviously where I watched the most of him. Like, bro, they kicked the shit out of him. And when you're 23, it's different than getting kicked at 33. You know, the miles on the clock, as Carl likes to say, like, it's different. And consider I think he was turned professional 16, 17. So he played a particular way and he played it like that for a long time. And he was really good. But once you reach a level where you must put in this work in order to maintain that level, are you willing to do it? And the stereotypical Brazilian, maybe not. And I feel like if he had a different name or a different passport, people were like, I expected this. But because it was Eden Hazard and he's, you know, from Belgium or whatever it is, I don't know. People didn't give him that same, like they expected something different, but that's just not his personality, clearly. I don't know if he's somebody who loves football. He was just really good at it.
He loves football. But
I don't know.
No. There are differences.
I never got the sense that he loved football. Like I just
No. But wait. But let me explain.
He was just really good at it, and he played. But it,
Wait. But let me explain.
Deathly serious.
But let me explain though. It's like you can love football, but in different ways. There is a love of football where you love everything about it, and you still want to succeed. You like the Cristiano, Modric, Messi, the consummate professional to be the very best. But there's the loving of football over, I love playing it. So the stuff around it, no. But once the referee blows that whistle and I'm there, I love this.
Yeah.
So 100% for when he was actually playing it and doing his thing, this is something that comes naturally to me, how I'm beating players, how I'm scoring goals, how I'm going past 3, 4 guys. There was an enjoyment there. But the stuff around it, no. But for the Cristiano, he enjoyed the whole 360. Of it, of like the training, the conditioning, the preparation, the hard work, the putting in the extra miles, the putting in the extra hours, and the football as well. So the whole ball of wax is what he enjoyed.
Playing. Cristiano isn't as naturally gifted as Hazard. So in order to get to his level, the only way he could get there was by working. The only type of person that could reach Ronaldo's level with Ronaldo's talent is the type of person who would work their ass off to get there. And that, I don't know, whatever thing in their brain, it will never turn off. It's why Cristiano hasn't retired yet. It's why people like Tom Brady. Tom Brady, he just retired, like, I think, a few months ago. It's why somebody like Kobe was willing to play until he's, like, 38. Like, there's something in those guys who aren't – they're not super athletes. Like, Kobe wasn't, like, a LeBron James or – one of those crazy athletes, but he had enough of the tools. I'm not saying like they're starting from dirt. Like obviously they're special people, but there's something in those type of mentality people where it's like the only way I can be this is if I do A, B, C, D, X, Y, Z. Whereas you look at guys like, and that's kind of what makes Messi special is, and maybe his natural gifts are just so crazy that we've never had to see him in like a low moment, but guys like Hazard, Ronaldinho, it's just like I can roll out of bed and dribble past five people.
Yeah.
It's work not to do it. they have to like sabotage themselves in order not to be able to do it. It's not working. It's more like sabotage.
It's like I was watching the Ronaldinho like just like mini profile and everything, or just his time. And I think Rijkaard said that if Ronaldinho wasn't happy, he wouldn't play well. So he had to be happy.
Mm.
So he had to be in a good mood in order to get the best out of him. So if he was not in a good mood, it was not going to work. So that's why Dinho and Hazard were actually very similar. They have to be enjoying it and be in a good mood. So the whole thing of like, okay, serious work now, let's now get hard and like, well, if this isn't fun, then no.
Why am I here?
I'm here to have fun. I'm here to enjoy this thing of kicking a ball around. Like, this ain't real life and so forth. I just want to kick a ball around. But it's like, but then the response to that is that, okay, it's not real life, but this is your work though.
Mm.
And like you're being paid
to be a professional.
Yeah, you basically, this is a job. And you're being paid very well to do this. So to train and run, rather than being stuck in an office staring at a monitor for 6, 7, 8 hours, that's a pretty good deal. You know, that's a pretty good deal, you know. So
now this is my bridge to Zlatan. But what would you say, like, where would you put actual Ronaldo in that kind of category? is like obviously the injuries are there, and we've all, and people would make fun of his weight and that type of thing. So was he one of those gifted guys that just kind of never put the work in, or was he not able to put the work because his body just betrayed him?
No, we would have never known. Would have never known because of his injury, you know. So because of that injury, and here's the thing with Ronaldo. Once he won the World Cup in 2002, that was it. His main thing was like, oh no, I have to right the wrongs of 98, where he was poisoned, and come back in 2002.
Allegedly.
And say, no, he was. And come back in 2002 and say, what's up? So I think that, but the thing though is, let's keep it real. It is a Brazilian thing. You know, like this, which is my argument with people saying that Neymar can win the World Cup in 2026. What Brazilian attacking superstar had a major impact post 30 at a World Cup? You can't name one. Because for most Brazilians, I have to max myself out during the 20s when I have the desire. Once it hits 30, that's it. I'm out.
It's like there are specific Brazilians that I can think of that like put the work, like someone like Willian, for instance. Like, there must be a place he cannot go back to back in Brazil. Like, he's one of those can't-go-back all-stars. Like, him, Ramirez, like, there are specific players where you're thinking, like, nah, there's something that they are running from, and they're never going to go back. But then you look at other ones. It's like, you know, the Robinhos, the Ronaldos, the, I don't know, David Luiz, I don't know, maybe. Like, there's just some that's just like, nah, like, it is what it is. I'm just here to have a good time. I'm here for a good time, not a long time.
Those
kind of ones. But again, it speaks to their willingness in many ways to just go anywhere for the bag. You know, that when I look at Oscar, it's just like, of course he's, that's what, or Hulk, I'm here to get money. Like, I'm not here to score. I mean, Hulk looking like he looks. Went to Zenit St. Petersburg, where the Zenit St. Petersburg ultras were like, we don't want black players here. They wrote a note in public after he was signed, like, nah, we don't want here.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they wrote.
Yeah, publicly. We don't want any ninjas
and
here.
And he's like, I think the rubles will spend. I think I can put them in the Cash App and I can send them and they'll convert them. So I'm coming nonetheless. And then China want to pay me. Okay. Like, there's something like, I can't speak to the poverty. I don't know what it is, or just the mentality of, look, I've left home already, so I'm just going to go where the money is. But I don't know. There's just something. It's weird. There are specific Brazilians I can think of that, like, they're running from something and that translates on the pitch. And then there's others who are running from something and it doesn't translate on the pitch in the same way. Zlatan retired. And my bridge was two players that never won the Champions League. Ronaldo was Zlatan, but I fucked it up. I mean, he retired at 41. And again, he's somebody who kept going and going, because Zlatan is another one of those, like, one of those hardworking, talented dudes. Because he shouldn't be that big to be able to move his feet that quickly.
Yeah.
The types of goals that he scored. Now, okay. I'm going to steal a point that I use for Giroud, but this one's actually the truth. When I say it for Giroud, I'm half joking. But this one is actually the truth. If you take any striker's best 10 goals and you put them back to back to back to back to back, Zlatan has the best top 10.
Yes.
He's got the best repertoire.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the perfect word. I don't know if anybody has a better repertoire of goals than Zlatan. Now, I say that in joking with Giroud, but the joke is, if he could actually finish the things that he thought of. So Giroud would try crazy stuff, and some of them came off. Like the goal I think he scored against Crystal Palace, where he, like, the scorpion goal, like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Zlatan actually had the capability to pull off the things that flashed in front of his brain. Like the goal against England. What are you thinking to think I can do that? And he, like, backflip.
If you think about it,
crazy.
I don't think Messi has ever scored a bicycle kick. A bicycle kick.
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, can he jump? Like, can he?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So basically, well, there was a guy from Sheffield Wednesday, Benito Carboni, who scored a bicycle kick, and he was also short as well. So.
But
he was short. Okay, so Messi never scored a bicycle kick. Cristiano, I don't think he's ever scored that goal he scored, that Cristiano's, that's Ibrahimovic scored at Ajax, where you're basically dribbling past four, five, six guys. Mm-hmm. So it's like almost like there are very few players who name any goal that can be scored. He scored it. Free kick, weak foot, elaborate scorpion weird kick, volley, out of the box, inside the box, header, dribbling, overhead kick, volleys, like almost every kind of goal you can think of. Beating four or five guys, solo goals, he's got every kind of goal. So, but are we here to be nice or are we here to tell the full story?
I was going to ask, so you score all those goals, but the one trophy that everybody really wants, you never got to it. Like, great, arguably the greatest league striker of all time. Like, pure number nine, because Ronaldo, meaning Cristiano, he played on the wing. He floated in between. Zlatan was a pure number nine. I mean, I think there was there like a 10-year run where he never lost a league? That might have been it, because he went from Inter when they won the league to Barcelona where they won the league to AC Milan where they won the league, then to PSG where they won a bunch.
And I think he won at Juve before Calciopoli.
Like in terms of just winning the league, one of the greatest of all time when you look at the goals and all of that, but he never won the big trophy. Now, you might need to be careful here because your GOAT is also in the same boat.
No, but he isn't. How... Bro, 97, European Cup against Bozo FC. That counts. I don't care what that counts.
European Cup, okay. But yeah, what does it mean that Zlatan didn't win the big one, as it were? Because we talk about Kane, like, you need to win something. Zlatan has won something, but he didn't win the big one.
And so, this is why this is the issue here. The issue is, look at the teams he played for. And it's not even look at the teams he played for. Look at what happened the moment he left those teams. So it's one thing being part of great teams. It's another thing where the moment you leave, very year you leave, they go ahead and they win. It's like, okay, no, this is beyond coincidental. And which is why I posed the question that, because someone said that if Ibrahimovic just committed to one team rather than just, you know, whoring himself around.
Oh, wow.
It's like, could he have won the Champions League if he just committed to one team? And I'm like, I'm going to say something, maybe, this is a take, it's a wild take, but let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you could win a UCL with Ibrahimovic in your team.
I think that's true.
You said you don't think it's true. You think it's true?
No, I think you could.
My thing though is, you have to play a certain way, and as a manager, you are tactically restricted when Ibrahimovic is in your team, because by the nature of how he plays, the whole team has to be built around him. You take away Ibra, it gives you a lot more tactical flexibility of how you can set up and how you can attack. But once Ibra is there, there is very little flexibility in how you can really mount attacks. So defenses, and also by the nature of the Champions League, which isn't a domestic competition, but the Champions League, and what is required of you tactically and the kinds of teams you're going up against culturally and so forth, you're always going to come across a team that's just going to nullify your Ibra-centered attack. So my take is, he's a great league guy, but that knockout competition of the Champions League, there would always be a team that would just sort of just nullify that Ibra team in the Champions League. So that's my take.
Well, so I have two things. I'll start with the most recent thing, which was in the season where, and actually this might be a credit to your point, but I'll try to flip it. If we're going to use any European Cup for Ronaldo, the season that Manchester United won the Europa League with Jose Mourinho, I think that was it 16-17? Zlatan was in that team, and he was one of the better players in the Europa League that season, but he got the knee injury that I think ruled him out of the final. So I think the players that scored in the final against Ajax were Pogba and Mkhitaryan. If I remember the game correctly, I'm really bad at remembering games. If he plays in that final, I think he helps them win. But to your point, he wasn't there, so maybe they played better. So, like, you know, that can go either way. The least recent thing would be, and I think we might be able to use Neymar, Messi, and Mbappe as perhaps evidence of this. If you give the best years of your career to PSG, what are you exactly meant to do at that club? Knowing what we know now about the nature of that club and how it's always been since they started their project, we didn't know at the time that Zlatan was basically digging a hole to nowhere. Like, there was a thought that maybe this team with Cavani, Lucas Moura, when they bought David Luiz and they beat Chelsea, Verratti, Ibra, maybe they could win. But really and truly, PSG is a cursed project. And I think he spent 3 or 4 seasons scoring crazy amounts of goals in Ligue 1. I think he was their all-time leading scorer until Cavani broke the record. And now I think Mbappe has it. Shows how young the club is, by the way. But yeah, I feel like he spent a bulk of that time at PSG. Like, he spent his peak years. You turned your camera. He spent his peak years there. So for me, it's just like, nah. Like, you wasted time at a place. And granted, you did well, but they're not capable of winning the Champions League, I don't think. So it's just like you're moving around. And I thought at this point when you brought up if Ibra would have stayed at one club. If he doesn't stay at PSG and he stays with Inter or he stays with Milan or he stays with whoever it was, maybe, but he didn't. And he went to, like, arguably the worst place in Europe to try to win that trophy, despite it looking like it could happen. So, yeah, that's what I think about that.
Yeah, look, the answer, we'll never know. Like, maybe if Inter and Juve being more stable professional environments rather than the holiday camp of PSG, maybe you still, okay, I'm going to commit 7-8 years, and maybe that's 1 year we'll get it right. Whereas at PSG, they'll never get it right. Maybe. Maybe.
But then, like, obviously hindsight's 20/20, because we could, like, Milan was in the wilderness for many years up until the past 2-3 seasons since they won the league in 2012, was it? And then they got sold to, I think they've changed hands. They went to Americans, they went to Chinese, they've you know, been back and forth with owners because they were with Silvio Berlusconi. They were with that guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe the turmoil in Milan, maybe PSG. But PSG looked like it was a good place to go at that time. But you could look at him. You could look at Thiago Silva. You could look at a lot of players that went there. It's like, you guys wasted a lot of time trying to get a project off the ground that I think is not moving from the ground. Like, Silva had to leave PSG, go to Chelsea to win. You know, it sucks that, I guess, when Zlatan went to United, like, they weren't in the – I forget. Were they – did they start in the Europa League or were they in the Champions League and then went either way? Yeah, I don't think he was really ever, like, in post 30, he was really never in a club that could have won it. So.
Wait, so he moved to PSG at 30?
I feel like he went there the 2012-2013 season. So that's 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And if he's 41, he was 30-31.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think despite what it looked like, I don't think PSG were ever really as serious and have ever been a truly serious Champions League threat, except the COVID year where they made the final and lost to Bayern. So, but yeah, you won the league a few times, so well done. There's some similarities here, I guess, but, you know. So Spurs have a new manager, our homie from Australia, whose last name I can't pronounce.
Angie, I'm calling him Angie Martinez.
Angie Martinez. It took me a second. He was at Celtic, and is it Postanoglu?
Yeah,
something glue. So is he's Greek?
Wait, Postecoglou.
Yeah,
Greek.
Okay, but by
because obviously, you know, because I think it's, you know, there are a lot of Greek people who now get Australian citizenship. So I think ethnically he's Greek, but obviously I think he actually now has Australian citizenship. So
cool. Okay. Apparently, he's the first Australian manager to manage in the Premier League.
Do you know that? Do you watch tennis? That guy Kyrgios.
Yeah, Nick Kyrgios. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's Greek, but obviously became Australian citizen. So.
Oh, okay. That's the guy with the temper.
Yeah.
Wears his hat backwards and Jordan's stuff.
Yeah.
Yo. I'll let it go. So yeah, new Spurs manager. What would be the best way to frame this? So we've had Gerrard come from Rangers. We've had, and this is just the recent past, there's been Brendan Rodgers came from Celtic. I swear there's another one that came to the Premier League from either Rangers or Celtic that's slipping my mind. But generally they do. I'm just thinking of Brendan Rodgers when he went to Leicester. Like, he was okay. Not great, not good.
Wait, no. We are missing the pink pelican in the room. This is the pink pelican that we're missing.
It's about the graphic back.
Because my
go for it.
No, because my thing is, so you have, you're operating at a 440 million, turnover profits income, and the best you can do is Angie Martinez. That's a slap in the face.
You can't call him an Angie
Martinez. If you're keen or you're a sports fan and you're like, we are the third most profitable sports team in the world, and our next manager is a manager from the Scottish League called Angie Martinez, that's crazy.
He's on Power 105?
Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, yeah, like, pretty, you know, Kirk and rap and everything, did a song with KRS-One, so, yeah. But,
friends with Peter Rosenberg. No.
Yeah. But you see, that's why for Tottenham, like, if you're Kane, how do you respond?
Peace. That's how I respond. But I don't. Kane's not going to do that. So, by the way, Kane's linked with Madrid.
It's not happening.
They said
Do you really believe that he's 46 goals away? Do you really believe that he leaves England before breaking that record? Now, here's the thing. He should, because nobody answered off Kingsbury or Winnish cares about that Shearer record. But, you know.
Winnish? What is that? I've never heard
Winnish.
Of that.
Winnish. It's a place in England. I don't know where it is, but it's somewhere.
I've never heard of that place. It depends on how long he thinks he can play. That would be my advice to him. If you think you're going to play until you're 40, like a Teddy Sheringham, like, go to Madrid for a season or two, win a trophy, come back, and you'll have enough time. If he's like, it depends on how much he likes football or how long he wants to play or whatever it is. Mm. If he's like, I only want to play until I'm like 33, 34, 35, but I want to break the record, then you have to stay at least for another 2-3 seasons. But by that time, you're past your prime. And will a Madrid want you? Will a Bayern want you when you're 32, 33? Or will they be looking at younger targets that make more fiscal sense and all of that? So he's at a fork in the road, as they say. Because they say Levy's not going to sell to anybody in the Premier League. Oh. And Madrid need a striker. They're not going to get Haaland. They're probably not going to get Mbappe. So the only one that you could really legitimately buy is Harry Kane. It's not like Madrid and Spurs don't have a good relationship if you look at Modric and Bale. So it can happen. It has happened in the past. But will he push it? If Madrid come with 100 million and Levy's like, no, I want 140. If Kane pushes it, it could happen. But he has to be willing to push. And will he be willing to push a move that takes him away from the record? Again, I feel like it depends on how long he wants to play. Because a club in England will always want him. And generally, I think he'll always be able to bag goals because his game has never been predicated on pace.
Mm.
It's all technique. It's all knowing where the ball's going to go before it goes. And
no, but also as well.
So just quickly, he'll be able to score goals until he'll be able to score goals when he's 60. It's like Dr. Yeah. J. I'm sure he can dunk right now. But how long do you want to play?
But the another element you're missing is beyond just how long he wants to play for is, how much are you willing to bet on yourself to go to Real Madrid and succeed?
Hmm.
So maybe a safer choice is stay in England, go to Man United because you understand the Premier League.
Levy's
but if you're going to Real Madrid, you are now signed as a marquee player, crazy spotlights on you because you're now the Benzema replacement. So, I'm not sure whether Kane doesn't strike me as someone who I think is going to be brave enough to take that Real Madrid move. You know, I think what he's trying to go for, because remember, he tried to go for Man City. That didn't work. So, the next best thing in his mind is United.
Mm. That's what I'm saying, though. I don't think Levy is going to sell intra Premier League. I don't think that's going to happen.
That's never been his
MO.
If he runs out his contract and he's now free, now what?
But how many years has he left? He has 2 years on his deal?
No, you know, it's over next summer.
Oh.
It's 1 year left.
I don't, like, would Levy stand on the principle that much?
That's what I'm saying. It's like...
like, I'm not selling to the Prem. If he wants to go free,
you're cutting off your nose you're cutting off your nose to spite your face because it's like, okay, I won't sell. Cool. Kane, I ain't signing a contract extension. So either you make potentially 100, 120, 130 off of me, or you lose me for nothing.
Mm.
And you screw up a potential rebuild and chance of actually using that 120, 130 to get two, three Martinez. New players.
Yeah. I called him Martinez. You make a good point. I don't even know what to say. But again, you have to be willing to push the move, Harry. Like, Levy is not going to, of his own will, sell Harry Kane. I don't think that's something he wants to do because Kane scored 30 goals this season. He is incredibly valuable to what Spurs are. The reason that they're worth that much money is in part because of Kane. And I feel like Levy knows that. Like, he's almost a get-out-of-jail-free card to continue just to weave in more Monopoly references. Like, he is a get-out-of-jail-free card. Like, he inflates the value of the club and their table position just by virtue of existing and scoring goals.
Mm-hmm.
So Levy's not a complete dumbass. He's going to know we won't be able to replace 30 goals a season with one player. And the money that we get back, we're not going to be able to buy a capable replacement. You can look at what they did with the Bale money. They bought, I'm not going to be able to remember. They bought Eric Lamella, they bought Eriksen, they bought Kirakesh, they bought, was it Chadley? They bought like six of the Paulinho,
yeah,
was it?
Guys.
They bought like a whole bunch of dudes. And I think maybe only I might be including him in there, and he wasn't. But I feel like only him was a success, and all the rest of them weren't. So, like, and this has always kind of informed my. If you sell big on one player, you go and you buy the best player possible. You don't spread the money over nine dudes. But I feel like that's what Levy would do with the money that he gets from Madrid. He would find 120 from Madrid, and then he would try to buy five, six players for Angie. And and it wouldn't work. Again, if you're Spurs, I feel like you keep Kane for the season. I feel like that's the smartest play, actually.
And then let him go for free next summer?
I'd rather have him for the season, just to keep me afloat, actually. Like,
no, but for what? Like, what are you going to do next year with Kane? What?
What are you going to do without him?
But if you lose him for nothing, that means you have no money. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing, though.
Aren't they in Europe next season? Are they in the Europa League or Conference League?
I think maybe then. I don't think they've ever made Europa.
Oh, wow.
Remember, fifth was Liverpool, sixth was Brighton.
Damn.
And I think seventh was Villa. Yeah, they finished eighth.
Eighth?
Yeah.
Yo, actually, definitely keeping Kane then. Because this will be their best opportunity to win something. Because they have nothing except the domestic competitions.
So you really think Angie can win a Karabuki or a Prince Charles Invitational? Come on, man.
Prince Charles Invitational. Which one is that?
FA Cup.
Yeah. The King Chucky Cup. I'm thinking from the Spurs point of view. If Levy isn't going to sell for a price that people will want to buy him, you might as well just keep him. But, you know,
I say just look, they accept your losses, bro.
They are not the fourth most expensive franchise in the world, or third, sorry. Most profitable team in the world on accident. Levy's going to make the right fiscal decision, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And if Kane is worth more by staying, he'll stay. If he's worth more by leaving, he'll leave. Even if through gritted teeth, if it's to United, he'll go to United. If Chelsea he'll never sell to Chelsea. That's a principle.
No.
Or he'll never sell Chelsea. Though.
You know, Chelsea and Arsenal, and I'm not in the
so I feel like the ideal is you play both teams against each other, Madrid and
United.
Or if Bayern want to say what's up, but Bayern aren't going to spend big money.
Bayern wants to get in the bidding.
So yeah, that's the plan. So, last thing before we get out of here, your Champions League final preview, like a quick hit, 2-3 minute. What do you think's going to happen in the game?
I'm feeling 2-0 to City.
Yeah.
And it's over 90 grid. Minutes. I just think, look, they're just playing at too high a level, bro. Way too high a level.
Do you know we didn't talk about the FA Cup final?
Weapons. Well,
we didn't talk about the FA Cup final. Yo, okay. What do you think about De Gea, who's also linked with Saudi Arabia, by the way?
Yeah, look, way too many mistakes. I think, isn't it? United, they're looking at Diego Costa, who allowed Enesri to leap over him for that goal. But, you know,
when you said Diego Costa, I was like, wait, what?
No. Diogo. I think it's Diogo. Yeah, Diogo.
Yeah, with an O. I was like, hold on, did he switch positions?
Bro, he's mad and crazy enough to do something like that. So
you know what? It's kind of like Diego Costa. It does have the temperament of like one of those nuts goalkeepers, like an Oliver Kahn. Like it would kind of match. My thing with De Gea is I've been trying not to get on him because it's just what United fans have been up to. But they have a point. If you're going to be whack distribution, you're not going to be finding men. You're just like, I don't know, kicking it anywhere, anyhow.
Yeah, it's so many
your one
mistakes.
Calling card is your reflexes and shot stopping. Once you lose the thing that you're best at, and same with Hugo Lloris, who I think has left Spurs as well.
Mm.
What's the point? I could throw Mendy in there. I could throw Mendy in there. If the thing that you're in goal for is I'm not going to be able to find you with my feet. I'm just incapable of doing that. But if someone shoots at this, I think it's 8x11 meter. What if they shoot here? I'm saving it.
Yeah.
Once you lose that, once De Gea is letting in goals like the second one, the first one, you know, it's, maybe you're not expecting that one. But the second one, maybe it's through bodies. I'm always prone to give goalkeepers excuses, but I mean, come on. Once you're not saving those, and the only shots that you stop are with your feet, I mean, we might as well.
No. They have to sell.
We might as well move on. I mean, what's the point?
They have to sell.
What's the point? So that's kind of the sad thing, I guess, when goalkeepers' reflexes leave. Someone like Kepa, if his reflexes get bad, he'll always be able to kick it around, and maybe a manager could see, like, okay, I could use this in my build-up play, etc. And we'll just have to deal with the bad shot stopping, which effectively has kept his whole career. Let me not. But, I mean, if you look at someone like Mendy, the Lloris's, the De Gea's, I mean, if your calling card is shot stopping, and then you stop shot stopping,
then you're useless.
Exactly. We might as well just have a hologram back there or, you know. You know, Casper the Friendly Ghost. I mean, like, what's your point? So, yeah. Anyway, Champions League final. I'm in the same camp. I think I've said since the round of 16 that this is City's year.
Mm.
And I've seen nothing to change my mind. Yeah. I mean, I wish the best for Inter. I want them to make it a good game, a fun game. But, I mean... In my heart of hearts, like, this could get quite ugly.
No. I think this could get like one of those
like 3-0, 4-1.
Yeah, because I think two things will happen. Either it'll be like it's just a routine, maybe 2-1, maybe 2-0, or it's like 4-1, or like City just completely there is a strong chance of City could just this could just be a landslide.
Now, the one thing that I can give Inter and perhaps it's stereotypical, but they are going to know what they have to do. So Madrid were a bit too confident in their ability to play football.
Mm.
And there were times where Modric was basically holding down the midfield by himself, and there were just runners after runners after runners. And they weren't getting help from Benzema or Vinny. Rodrigo wasn't tracking back as much. More Vinny and Benzema. They were just kind of, I don't know, it was like a weird... It's like they had two strikers, but they weren't really pressing or doing anything. And Modric was just like, you know, the Game of Thrones meme where the dude pulls out the sword and there's a bunch of horses coming at it. Like,
No, but see, it's easier than that, though. I just think they were just past it. The real players, they were just past it individually.
Maybe it's tactical, maybe it's physical, whatever it is. It just felt like the midfield was overrun. Inter are going to know far better. And again, maybe I'm playing into the stereotypes of Italian teams will know what to do defensively. But I think everyone has been quite warned about what City are capable of, to the point where Inter can't play any other way than defensive, buckle everything. And if Lukaku in the 60th minute when he comes on can connect with Lautaro Martinez and maybe we get 1-0 or get a 1-1 and try to get the extra time or whatever it is, like that will be the plan from Inzaghi. It has to be the plan. There isn't a go toe-to-toe plan with Manchester City in the same way that Madrid tried. They backed themselves and they lost the second leg. I forget the score. Was it 3-0? 3-1? 4-1. It was
like 4-1, something like that. Yeah,
yeah, it was a nuts, especially second half. That's the one thing that I think maybe that gives Inter a glimmer of hope that they will be smarter than what we saw from Madrid. And even in the FA Cup final, Inter, who are a better team than Manchester United, I felt they played better than City. They just didn't have those moments where City had the two moments from Gundogan.
Hmm.
I don't think City played miraculously well, but they did enough in the first minute and obviously the second goal. So maybe Inter can find those moments. They have players in the team that are capable. Dzeko, Martinez, Mkhitaryan, Lukaku. Like, they have players in the team that can score. Like, I can see them scoring. But City are just so dominant with the ball.
And they're good defensively as well. So
exactly, it's hard to go against them logically. And I know City fans are going to be like, "Oh, they're trying to put pressure," but not like back. Like, you guys are that team. Like, you guys are the juggernaut that you've always wanted to be. So accept what comes with that, which is an expectation. So yeah, as much as I might want to say Inter, in fact, I'm dying to say Inter. Like, I don't want City to win the Champions League. Like, I really don't. But yeah, I'm thinking like 2-0, 2-1, Manchester City. And a 2-1 that's not that close. Just yeah. Damn, like they blew them away. Like, Inter were lucky.
It could have been 3 or 4-1. Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know. One last thing. See, I almost forgot. I'm trying to think of thoughts instead of actually doing my job as a host. So here we go. We have one last thing to hit. This is from Tapiwa on the voice notes. I have no idea what this is going to be. Maybe we've talked about it. Maybe we haven't. So here we go.
Now, first of all, I just wanted to say again, thank you guys for the coverage, as always, throughout the season, over the years. It genuinely is appreciated, as much as we say it over and over again. But you guys really do help us get through the work week. Now, my actual question, I'm biting this question from Michael Talks Football, so shout out to him. I wanted to know, for the 22-23 season, let me know you guys' best game, worst game, biggest shock, worst signing, best signing, and manager of the season. So feel free to include any competition, any league, whichever. And it's not specific to any specific league or anything like that. As always, thank you guys.
See, like, I didn't know that question was going to be homework.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, that's... we could just do our best. So signing... Pass by Haaland.
Haaland, for sure.
Were there any worst or what? So did he say team or did he say like best? Oh, sorry, no, best game.
Yeah, best game.
Second leg, Barcelona, Bayern, Munich. No, sorry. Barcelona, Bayern, the game at the Allianz Arena in the group stage. That was the best game.
Is it cheating to say the World Cup final? Or is that not included in 22-23?
Well, actually, that's true. Actually, but here's the thing, though. The best game, even if we include that, I'll say that was the most dramatic game. But
that's how I'm judging it. But I know what you mean by
Yeah. Like it's the for the first 6 minutes before France scored, it was a one-sided game. The game was not that great. So it's only really begun when Mbappe scored. But I think as a match, as a whole match, that's Bayern Barca, the game in Bayern. That was an amazing game.
Mm.
So which other ones did he say?
Best goal? Do I remember? I heard that.
Best goal.
Best goal of the season,
bro. You can call it recency bias. That Gundogan goal was insane.
The first one?
Yeah. That goal was insane. That goal was insane, man.
Best goal I saw this season.
If we're not including 22-23, that Mbappe goal in the World Cup final was stupid.
2-2.
And it's made it 2-2. That goal was stupid. That's one of the most stupid goals I've ever seen. That goal was stupid, man.
Okay, if we're including the World Cup, the best goal I saw this season was the Vincent Aboubakar goal.
Yeah.
Where he made the man slide and then scooped it. The ball bounced into the roof of the... that is my favorite goal of the season so far.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that counts as the season. It's just a tournament that happened in between the season. Do you know what's sick? Because of my Chelsea bias... I'm trying to think of goals. And Chelsea didn't score shit.
There are no goals there, bro.
My favorite goal that was scored against Chelsea, or that was scored in a Chelsea game this season, was Willian. I remember because Half-Hope does the halftime spaces. So Chelsea were losing to Fulham. I think it was 1-0. And Willian scored. And I said, I'll leave it with something. I'm from round away. I'll leave it with something. And then I think Chelsea won. It was either 2-2 or 2-1. But either way. So yeah, just when I think of football, there's a Chelsea filter that I have to get through before we get to other things. But I was just like, man, Chelsea are just whack. Yeah. There was another Willian goal that he scored with left foot, curved it into Willian's my guy. Damn, I forgot all the things. You know what? I will play that again after the Champions League final. And we will see if the Champions League final has affected.
Yeah,
we could
do a nice season roundup, yeah.
Exactly. We will see if the Champions League final has affected anything.
And then we could even maybe do an 11, a best 11 of the year.
Ooh. I'll have to get working on that. It shouldn't be too difficult. But we'll see after the Champions League final.
Shout out to people, man. Thanks for the support, bro.
Indeed. Bro. We will play that one again. I was going to call it a dub, but I remember. This is a dub. we will play that voice note again. And as always, thank you guys for sending voice notes. I will make sure to put the link to where you guys can get in contact with us in the show notes. So, yeah, this has been Talking Tactics. Again, we thank you guys for rocking with us this week. Hopefully you guys enjoy the Champions League final wherever you watch it. Stay safe, follow that. I've been Daniel Taluk, Half Hope. Where can people get you? One more time.
Halfhopefootballhot.com, yo.
Indeed. Remember, check out the Patreon. I was looking at the clock, why have we gone this long? And it's because of the Patreon, because we talked about Apple stupid headsets. So let me not call them stupid. Overly priced and expensive headsets. So if you want to hear what we think about, Apple $3,500 vision goggles, whatever they're calling it, that's on the Patreon. So go check that version of the pod out. All the links are in the description. You guys know what to do. Talking Tactics podcast, sometimes funny, sometimes serious.
Always footballer.
Indeed. We'll catch you guys next week. Check out the second pod as well.
Yes, sir. Yeah, check out the second pod. Peace.
Sports Social Podcast Network.